I apologize for the delay. Okay, a couple of things. Everyone here? Where the Chaim? Was Chaim Laufer? Huh. Does he tell your parents to come back on?
Yeah, I did, right? He says he's on.
He's on?
Make it the
Okay. So a couple of things. First, we have a couple of dedications of the Shir tonight to three yurt sites. First, the grandparents of my dear Talmud of Chaim Laufer. So his grandparents, Abba Zev ben Moshe Mishel Halevi. That's the 14th yurt site of Morris Laufer. And Yisrael Moshe ben Shlomo, Dr. Albert Horowitz, the 34th yurt site, who is an obstetrician, who was mialed many of the Lujava Hasidim. And then as well, my Talmud, Moshe Arf's father, the first yurt site, of Eliezer ben Anshel HaKoyin, of Rachamin, and Eliezer ben Anshel HaKoyin, and then for Refuah Shleima to Rachamim ben Aliza.
Excuse me, sir?
And then, okay, so we have some people here. Rabbi Yehuda Green was just here in the shul. So I asked him a shayla. I said, you know, he says, Allah kibbutz chasidim, the Rebbe's dog. Whenever the chasidim get together, so the Rebbe's always there. So I asked him, does that include the people on the Zoom? Or is only the people, the kibbutz chasidim, is only the people who come? So he paskin that ala kibbutz chasidim, and Rabbi Voren confirmed to that as well, is even the people on Zoom, even though we hope that the people on Zoom one day will come back to the shul as well. And so we have the ala kibbutz chasidim is the Rebbe dog. So the other kibbutz chasidim is the Rebbe dog. So as Hashem, we hope to see everyone live in the near future. Everyone should be well. And these are the three yurt sites again: Abba Zev ben Moshe Mishel Halevi, and Yisrael Moshe ben Shlomo, and Yosef ben Anshel Hakoyin, and Refuah Shleima for Rachman ben Aliza. What do you say? Okay. So,
I'm asking if it's a package deal. We accept you as a Rebbe. We have to take the Rebbe and you agree as a Rebbe also.
That's a question. That's a question.
I don't know if we're ready to make that commitment.
Okay. We had to keep us chasidim as the Rebbe dog. Okay. Tonight, we're continuing in our Shiurim on Hilchas Muktza. The 23rd Shir, Paket Chav Gimel. And the discussion is like this. We're discussing the inyan of Muktza Machmas Chisar and Kis. So the classic case is like this. Say you're a moil, right? So you have a mila knife. So the mila, or you're a shochet, and you have a shchita knife. Now, you only use it for shchita. Because if you're going to start using your shechita knife for something else, then you're going to ruin it. And because the shechita knife, it has a crevice in it, it'll be puzzle. Right? So therefore, I'm never going to use, if I'm a shechit, when I use it for the shechita, that's one thing. But then I'm going to put it away and I'm not going to use it for anything, lest it become ruined, and all the shechitas will therefore be puzzle. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that. So on Shabbos, I don't do shechita. You're not allowed to do shechita on Shabbos, right? So, and I'm never, so shechita is out of the question because it's a klisha malachto le'isser. There's an isser to do shechita, and anything else with it, I can use my shechita knife to cut the challah also, but I would be a fool to do that, right? Because it'll ruin the knife. So therefore, I'm not going to use it for cutting challah either. So memela, there's no use for it, And Mamela, I cannot move it on Shabbos, it's considered Muktzah. But tonight's shiur is, what about something that has value, and I'll keep it in the break front, nice china, which I don't really use. It's more like for show.
Decorative
things. I have nice besamim case, you know, some nice things I just keep for show. So that's not something, I keep it in the corner there. I don't use it because I don't want it to get ruined. But it's not something that I do malacha with. You see, the shechita knife is something I do malacha, and anything else that I could do with it, I'm not going to do with it. So what's the story of things like, say you have a picture on the wall. So there's no malacha with a picture on the wall, but would I go ahead and take it and move it places? No, because I don't want to, you know, once you start moving these things, who knows what's going to happen. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that either. But it's not a klisha malachto le'isr. So could there be a din of muktzah machmas chisaron kis by klisha malachto leheter? But it's a klisha malachto leheter, like I have nice china. And I don't use the china. It's like what Rav Yitzchok said. It's just decorative. And I keep it in my break front to, you know, as a showpiece, so to speak. Would that be something that's called, would that be muktzah on Shabbos? Because it's something that I don't really use, and I want it to be in set aside in one place. I'm not going to start moving it around, because if I start moving it around, who knows what will happen, it'll break. And, you know, so say somebody comes to my house one day, and I want to show him, and he happens to be a Shabbos guest. So he's a chash of a person, so, you know, there's always exceptions to the rule. I'm going to take about a piece and show it to him. Or I have some antique sefer. You know, I have some antique sefer. So, and I don't usually, you know, there's svarim that you learn from, and then there's svarim for, you know, antique things. I personally am not a collector. I collect svarim that I use. But, you know, some people have, you know, for the sake of, you know, Judaica. The people in the world, that's a whole business. People have them making parnassa from. I know somebody who's just at our yontif table. You know, he works for one of these Judaica houses. You know, auction houses. Yeah. So that's a whole big thing in its own right. Every once in a while, in the library at YU, they get something like. Like the other day, it was a postcard from the Minchas Olozer that was up for auction. So sometimes we bid on these things. So sometimes, okay. So says the Mechaber. You hear?
Music to learn by.
What?
Music to learn by.
Yeah.
That would be also like, let's say, a baseball card, a valuable baseball card.
A valuable baseball card.
Rabbi Simon, maybe you can mute everybody.
Okay, can we mute everybody? Can you mute everybody? Yeah. A is gonna mute everybody. But feel free, if you want to speak up, to unmute yourself and speak up, please. It always makes the shiur more exciting when people... okay, everyone's muted. Okay. Okay. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Kol HaKelim, you tell him the Shabbos chutz and look to machmas chon kis. So he gives the example: sakin shel shechita. If you have the shechita knife or shel mila, ismil shel. Sofrim, Sakin Shal Sofrim, you have different the pen that the sofer uses, right? And then he says further, what's a cornus shel besamim? A pestle, right? That you crush the besamim to, you know, when you want to make herbs, right? Shemakpin malav shelo yilachlich. So, you know, in other words, you mock for that, you don't want to get dirty, the pestle, right? So you keep it in a specific place and you leave it there. So that's called Muchtzimach Zichisar and Kis. If you look at the Sefer Mekor Chaim, that's by the Baal Chavis Yoyer, so he wants to know, what about if you have a silver or gold besamim case? So is that, and therefore also you keep it, you know, you use it once a week for Havdalah, but the rest you keep it in the break front. You don't want it to. So on Shabbos, are you allowed to move it? Say some people make bracha borin mi besamim on Shabbos, right, to get extra brachas. Right, there's a halacha that we have to try to make 100 brachas a day, but on Shabbos we lose some brachas. We don't have such a long Shmoneh Esrei, so. So can I take out from my nice silver besamim? Is that considered muktzamach mischisar kis? Because I keep it in a, you know, in the break front. I don't. So he says, mechol bosam dezov v'kesef after miyuchad l'motzoy Shabbos, I belachtem l'heter mutar l'taltalo. So he says, no, because since there's no malacha being done with them, it's not like a sakim. So he's assuming that it only can qualify to be a klisha malachto leheter, a klisha muchtamach mischaram tis, if there's a malacha that you do with it. And that's the point. In other words, you do a malacha with it, and on Shabbos you can't do that malacha. And the other things that you could do with it, you won't do with it, because you might ruin it. So Mela, on Shabbos, there's nothing to do with it. Like Rav Shachter explains. Therefore, it's like, so therefore you can't, therefore it becomes Muktza. But if it's something that, like, in other words, even though I put the Besamim in the break front, the whole week, and I don't want it to get, it's a nice Besamim box, I don't want to get it moving around, but there's no malacha. So therefore, if you'd want to move it around on Shabbos, you would be permissible to do so.
The song itself is not muktzah?
Yeah, because because you're saying it has a use.
Oh, meaning he has to.
Yeah.
Really,
now, if you take a look, the Mishnah Brura.
Okay.
Wait, we'll get to the Mishnah Brura. One second. Let's take a look. Yeah, let's take a look on page 5. Look in Siv Beis on the top. Not in the Mishnah Brura, in the Mechaber, on page Beis. On page 5, Oz Beis on the top. Kol kli afilu hu gadol, you have a big kli, the kaved harbe, it's very heavy, lo nisbat al shem kli mimenu, it's still a kli, even though usually a kli means something that you can move around, but here it's very heavy, so it's not moving around, it's still a kli, lo nisbat al shem kli mimenu, lo b'bnei gadlo v'lo b'bnei kovdo, because it doesn't lose the shem kli. Because if it's how big it is or how heavy it is. So says the Mishnah Brura in Ches. The Kovar Harbe, the Huadin Evan Gedola, you have a big stone, the Kora Gedola, a big beam. In other words, it's something you use, it's a useful item. So then you can move it on Shabbos. With chli mutar afilu ein rogel tatal bimosachol. Because Mokum Lord Minim them think they do so who covail or Mokum Maksa Daitum in Taltalo. Because even though it's heavy, so what? Venera Dimi Mosachol, who Zohir Lahania Bim Koma Kadeshali Posed, it is Kalkel. But say you have something that you're makpid not to move, it's not something you do a malacha with, but you're makpid not to move it because you're afraid if you're going to move it, you're going to
damage it.
Right. So it says, the Mishnah Berurah, V'vein hu b'chlal mukta machmas chisaron kis. So then that's called mukta machmas chisaron kis. So he's saying a chiddush here. That even though there are achronim that say that it has to, mukta machmas chisaron kis has to be a kli that you do malacha with, so presumably he's disagreeing with that. And he's saying that even if you don't do malacha with it, here's just it's a big kli, it's maybe a bookcase or something like that. You don't do malacha with it, but you're not going to move it around, because if you're going to move it around, it might get nicked. Or something like that. And then you know, it won't be as nice. So you'll lose money. So that's also called Muchtza Machmas Chisaron Kis. So it's seemingly the Mishnah Berurah is arguing with this other approach. The other approach is saying, like we said before, in the Mekor Chaim, you have a nice besomim container. But I'm sure you can get a besomim container that's worth $1,000 also. I'm not from the big collectors here, but I'm sure. I see sometimes the library when they're having auctions. So the library will get the brochures of the auctions, and you see how much these things are going for. The Volozhiner Yeshiva once wanted to give a gift to Rav Chaim Brisker. So you know what they gave him? They gave him a silver esrog holder. That's what they gave him. There's a picture of it in the book. What they inscribed it, etc. So the question is, if it's something that you won't metaltel. So most people today will metaltel their esrog. Usually, they bring it to shul. So they they take it all the way to shul. They just don't leave it in the break front. Well, sometimes we'll discuss whether you have a very expensive becher. Say you have an expensive becher, you'll use it for kiddush, and then you'll put it right back into the break front. So, say in the middle of Shabbos, you want to show it to somebody. Would that be permissible or not? Because do we say that that you don't usually move it so much? So even though, again, this is all within the Mishnah Berurah Shita. If you hold like the Shita of the Mekor Chayim, and we saw the Pnei Yeshua, there has to be a kli that you do malacha. So a becher is you don't do a malacha with a becher, and you don't do a malacha with a besamim container. So that's what we're gonna have to see. So
wouldn't that be automatically if it's an antique piece or a valuable piece or something that you might show it? Yes, doesn't that automatically not look touch ups?
Yeah, in other words, if you would show it to guests, so
even if it's only once in a rare while, a guest who's a maven and such a thing.
Yeah. Oh.
Since you have it in mind, that would be enough to be asked.
Right. So what Rabbi Ginsburg is saying is that we're going to see others say like him as well, that since sometimes you'll show it, even if it's not so common that you'll show it to somebody, then that maybe makes it that it won't be muktzah. And if you look here on page 19, so again, if you hold like the Shita, and the simple pshat in Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Satmar Rebbe pointed out once, that all the examples that are given in Shulchan Aruch are all kelim that you do melacha with. The sakin shel mila, the sakin shel shchita, the cornus shel, there's all things you do melacha. So this idea to extend it beyond something you do melacha with is a
extra
bit
chumrah?
Is an extra chumrah, right? We'll see.
So where is the source of the extra?
Well, the Mishnah Berurah said like that. That's what we just saw in the Mishnah Berurah said like that. Schor is the one exception. In other words, if you have something that's used for is merchandise, that you have a business and you use it for schora, so then the Shulchan Aruch says, even if it's not a klisha melachto l'isa, because since you're using for schora, then your mind is not to use it for your own private use. In other words, I happen to sell China.
Plates in the basement, right?
Yeah. Right, right. My plates in the right. I sell China from the basement, right? And I have, so China is not, but I'm not going to still use the China that I have for my merchandise. Say I'm short on plates for the Shabbos guests. So I'll get some nice, nice plastic, hard plastic, maybe a nicer, but I'm not going to go down to the basement and start taking up the merchandise. Because, so merchandise has it's a new category. So that, even if it's not klisha melachto l'isra. But the thing is, if it's not merchandise, and if it's not something you do melacha, is it still also, so the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, that it's something that you have, that you makpid not to move around, even if it's no melacha is done, and even if it's not merchandise. So most probably would say that's not true. That if you don't do any melacha with it, then no. So that's what he writes over here in page 19, Rav Harfenis on page 19. He says, Hashem kasavnum simkov zayin, the chefetz she'odem koveya lomokom, umakpit shelo yazizu oso, misham klal, umuktsus machmos kikron pis, afshehu kli heter, hainum misham shekol tashmishu rak v'ach lishar bimkomo. He says, even the people that say it doesn't have the klisha melachto l'isser, but maybe it's only something that is normally used in its place. It's normally used in its place. You don't move it. Like the case of the bookcase. It's normally used in its place, and I mean you're not gonna move it around, because if you move it around, it'll get ruined or it'll get nicked or something like that. So those things, but it could be that if it's something that is klisha melachto l'heter, and even though, but you move it around, so then that wouldn't be considered muktzah. Only things that are, he's saying, that even if you want to say like the Mishnah Berurah, that's only because he's talking about something that normally you don't move. So if you normally don't move it, then maybe there's no heter to move it. Because you normally don't move it because you don't want to ruin it. So you don't ruin it, so even though there's no malach, like a nice bookshelf, you normally don't move it, so on Shabbos you can't move it. Because even though it's not a klisha malach, but you keep it in its place and you mak tadas. Okay, sorry. And that's, he quotes the Mekor Chaim right here on page 19 in the bottom paragraph on the right. After Miuchel Motzoi Shabbos, and you usually you only use it during Havdalah, because I didn't mishum da asui lo talta bezmani miyuchadim. Miu yesh litchos the chani hasam shem tzi so yisui behedish. In other words, it's built in that you're going to always use it every Motzai Shabbos. So therefore, even though it's expensive and you don't want to move it normally, but you move it on a, he says, at least you move it on a regular basis. So therefore, in the middle of Shabbos, you decide you want to show your nice antique besamim holder that you use every Motzai Shabbos, and you want, but someone's coming in on Shabbos, you want to show it to them, you can open up the brafer and take it out and show it to them.
Would we say it's the same yeser for the Baal as it is for the guest?
Yeah, the Baal, we'll see if Harfin is put down. The Baal is Koveya, whether it's Muktzah or not.
He sets the
tone. If it's muktzah, once he's conveyed that it's muktzah, then no one else could use it.
Meaning, if someone were to enter a house and he sees a heavy item, his assumption should be most probably this is something that's iser al.
Well, if somebody enters a house, he probably shouldn't be touching and moving other people's
things. Someone's a guest and he wakes up early in the morning, he sees, you know, he's welcome.
So that's what we're going to see.
He sees in the display, oh, that's a nice...
Right, he wants to pick it up and look at it. So his assumption be that that's muktzah.
So look what he writes here on page 19 on the left. Aval. Be'emes kelim yikarim, shokesev, silver items, she'enem asuim l'shem shimush klal. They're not used, like, you have nice silver plates. They're not used to make to use. Leave in the break front. The glass break front. It's for beauty. The kishur habayis and the decoration of the house. A muktzah machas chisaron kis. That's called muktzah machas chisaron kis. He says, "V'tzarch ian imaderech lefamnu lahotzi akel miyikar min argus kadei laharos noyim yafim orchim." By Beso, the Laisu Lo Chashin Muktzah Machmasom Kis. It could be that if he will sometimes show it to guests, then maybe that'll take it from the status of Muktzah. But if it's something that he never shows to guests, and now all of a sudden he wants to move it on Shabbos, he never showed it to a guest. I mean, maybe there's never say never, because then this particular guest comes, and to him, sometimes you never want to show it to guests, but this guy, he'll show it to him. So the question is, does that make it, maybe it's still awesome, because he never shows it to guests.
What about the scenario where other people, they put away, like a bottle of scotch or something, until a certain point,
they put a bottle of scotch till the daughter gets engaged or something like that.
The daughter gets engaged Friday afternoon. So we say that this Shabbos, this is muktzah because he's never used it before, or that it's mine that was originally, 10 years earlier, but now was fulfilled, so therefore it's got to be.
I would assume because you can make a bracha on it, it's an entirely different category.
Yeah, no, so the answer is what Rav Yitzchak said, that food is an entirely...
Again, you can make a bracha on it, it's an entirely different category.
It's a food. It's not a kli. It's food.
And of course, could you, in this instance, could something be muktzah robe of the shana, but because they say when a guest is coming for that particular Shabbos, having in mind...
We'll see. Yeah, maybe if you know from before that this guest is coming...
The person that bought you the thing is coming for Shabbos, right. You want to display it, you want to use it.
Right. So the same question about pictures on the wall. You have pictures on the wall, so you leave it there, you want to leave it there. So, and its use is, so he writes here, from the Debrecina Rav, here on page 20, the first arrow, on the left. The kakos of b'shut bear Moshe. That's where Moshe Stern's on Sal the Debrecina Rav. Shetmunos yikara sh'al ha'koiso muktzah v'chisaron kis. So he holds that it's muktzah v'chisaron kis. Even though there's no malacha done, but the maisa, its use is not by moving it. Its main use is not by moving it. So then... So now those that argue, this Torah Journal pre-tomorrow on page 12, He quotes it also with the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa on the right side of page 12. Or Isi B'Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Shehosif Chumra Al Chumra V'Kasav Shechol Dov Shadam Kovel O Mokom Machme Erko Harav V'Machme Olof Shalol Taltel Machme Shemi Iskalkel Kilon Shon Kier. You have a clock on the Otmuna Umnosis, a professional picture Shemachme Ola Oser. You can't move it. And he wants to argue with him. On the left side of the page, I'll koponim the top arrow, Yotze Ladina, and he is 90, Shetmun Umnoi, Tamun Akil Lenoi, Ain't Shemokam Lesser. So that's the big machlokis. If you have a nice, fancy painting.
You have a pretty picture on the wall.
That it's a professional picture, and you leave it there, and its use is to leave it there. It's not used to move it around.
Who's the one that's arguing on the
Shmir Shabbos? So this Rav here, who wrote this article, pre-Tamarim used to be the Satmar Torah Journal. Rav Moshe Zorger.
Now, what's the Svara that he's Mekel? Why is he Mekel?
He's Mekel because it's not a Kalisha Malach Tola Isser. And it's not a Kalisha Malach Tola Isser, and it's not Schorah.
But why is it not point of a soicer?
His what?
Why is it not considered point of a soicer? It's bottled to the wall.
Okay, so that's a separate question. Is there a malacha of, if you would take it off the wall, would that be considered? Because it's not nailed into the wall. So their assumption is that it's, from that perspective, it wouldn't be.
Awesome.
It's hanging on a hook, correct. It's hanging on a hook. In other words, Bona is if you would take a nail and you would bang it into the wall, that would be Bona.
Right.
Because you're adding something to the wall. But this is a fascinating machlokas, whether if you... And according to the Mishnah Brura, most... So, according to the Mishnah Berurah, Alpi Pashtus, it also should be Aser.
But over there, the Mishnah is talking about you're worried it's going to be damaged or something. It's not stolen.
Yeah. Motions have zorg. So with a person usually doesn't take off, pick the fancy pictures. What about pictures of Mars cats? What's your opinion of pictures of Mars cats?
Classic.
Yeah.
The entire lifetime output of Picasso in one morning.
Yeah.
What if there's a...
Right, you remember those days? He used to go to all the hotels and the mountains, right?
And now they'll make that bird.
You got the Neville.
The Mukhtals, the other moves. He makes them
a My question is, why did all the hotels and the mountains close? That's my question.
People go to more.
Because they invited people like Boris Katz to be the entertainment.
I used to go with my father, Alava Sholem, and my mother sometimes was teaching in public school during the summer. And at the end of the summer, my father and I would take from a Sunday to a Friday, midweek, we would go right to the Homowack together, and we would take walks together, and we would sit under the trees together. You know, it was a very...
simple day.
Yeah, that's I wasn't looking for an exotic vacation, just to take a safer under a tree. That was the most... with my father, and sit on there, that was like the greatest thing in the world. What else do you need?
The answer to Ariel's question, I think, is Lou Goldstein.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Lou Goldstein. He was like the Simon Says.
Simon Says. From Grossinger's or something?
Yeah, he did
the whole circuit. He did the whole circuit.
Grossinger's Concord.
Yeah, all these things. They're all Aleihem HaShalom.
Oh,
yeah.
The bygone era.
Yeah, I don't get it.
My mother won a free trip to the Concord, I think, after winning with Lou Goldstein.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that place.
Yeah, I like, you know.
It sounds so, what you're saying is there's an inherent assumption that, you know, negative Havana, that, you know, we don't do these things, and therefore it would be us on shots, it would be looks. So what about the understanding that there's also scenarios that everyone would use it? For instance, if there's a leak that's driven on a certain spot right above a picture, see, it's understood that if there's a leak, I will move my picture. Everyone moves their picture. So is that built in that even on Shabbos, then you lose the status of mitzvah based on...
Well, then you bring in the Hefseda Mamona in the other way. Not that you will move it and damage it, but that if you leave it in the same spot, it will be damaged.
Right.
Didn't
we
say the children, leave it outside?
That's awesome, but that's still awesome.
It's also, but meaning, so that's why I'm going.
Because muktzah, you can't move.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But we say that the muktzah is in a normal scenario, because the whole thing is.
Something that's muktzah mamish, you can't even move what we call the chamal itself.
But this is only muktzah.
So that if the sun is going to beat
the
on
sun
it,
is going to ruin it.
It's going to ruin it.
Still doesn't matter.
But if it's only muktzah. That's muktzah mamish. It's klishim laftol iser. If I have a hammer that's in the sun, and the sun is going to move it, so that a hammer is something I'll use for a hammer, but I'll also use to crack nuts because I don't care. It gets banged up a little bit; it'll still be a good hammer. So I'll use it to crack nuts. So that's called a klishim laftol iser. So it's
for bone, it would be a problem to crack nuts. Well, it would be fun.
No, so one second. So klisha malachta l'isser. One second. Is mut l'tzorf gufu mekomo, but mechamel itself. I'm sorry. I think I made him. I said it over incorrectly. That mechamel itself is usser. You can't do even a klisha malachta l'isser, but you can move it l'tzorf gufu mekomo. But a klisha muktzmach is going to kiss. You can't even move it l'tzorf gufu. Well, Bacomo, certainly not.
What about tefillin left outside?
Tefillin is going to be a whole separate packet.
Is inherent in the fact that I have this negative kavanah that I will not be using it, and therefore it's
in other words, could you have in mind that if it rains, I want to be able to? Probably not. Because you can't move it. Right, we'll have to see. Can you make it tonight on muktzah?
On this type of
muktzah. This type of muktzah.
Because it's all based on the assumption that my mindset is a certain way, but my mindset is also takes into account the variability.
Yeah, so we'll see, but not so simple. Yeah, page 18, parenthetically, take a look here where the arrow is, the second arrow. Go a little further down. It says Pasha the Muktzah Basar HaBailam. That's what I told you before. That you follow the Bailam. But now he wants to say another thing here. Let's see what Dovid says. Yeah, let's see. Yeah. Let's take a look. Here, page 25. Mi sheyesh lo kos on the left side. Mi sheyesh lo kos le kiddush. Yikara ma'od. Is a very expensive becher. Hoshel Yerusha mitzadik kodum. Well, this was the Baal Shem Tov's Becher.
I have one of these.
Yeah?
I heard there's someone who had like a Becher from the Vilna Gaon, but he wouldn't use it because he didn't believe it was the right shear. I have my great-great-grandfather's
from the
Rav Auerler, who gave it to him as a going-away present when he made Aliyah. Gave him his own.
Yeah, Rav Arla.
Rav Arla, yeah. Good.
The question says in the middle of the neck.
Like, use it to make kiddush.
Yeah. So he says a very expressive, Shemakrin Shashum Odom Lo Yishtamash Bok Rak Ihu Litzorach Kiddush. You know, anyone can use it except him. Kiddush and Lel Shabbos Greda. The Chachachoser Mitzniya Makbid Olof Shasulo Yigabo Yad. So the, in other words, he'll use it for Kiddush, they'll put it right back, and no one else can. And Ibu Mukzim Machmas Kisar Kis. B'Sheiris Hayom. So he, it's interesting. He says he taskins of Harvard is that it's muktzah.
I'm glad I let other people use it occasionally.
Well, you let other people use it.
I have let other people get a shot of it.
So it could be for you that yours is not muktzah.
Right, I'm glad to hear it.
But that's. He discusses here on the left side, or the right side, on page 25, about credit cards.
Mm. And also it says here, Nechlechu opposing of Gabe Sakin Shalmila, but I thought according to the Shulchan Aruch.
Where are we reading?
So here.
What page?
Matzinush Nachlechu opposing the Gabe Sakin Shalmila, Beshabbat, Shiesh Bamila, Matim, Nasakin.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, what's the din if you had a meal on Shabbos?
Uh huh.
So then you used it the Shabbos.
So
after. So that's the question. Afterwards, do we say that it's Muktzah, or do we say, oh, well, this Shabbos, he used it? We can have a whole separate share of that. But he said. It's machlokas aposkim whether it on the Shabbos that you used it, whether it has. And then he says over here about antique svarim. You know, like some people are very into like the first printing of the Noam Elimelech or the first printing. I'm not so concerned. It's as long as it's the same words. I like the latest printing. You know, it's the clearest. You know, because I'm not, I'm not an antique collection. You know, you have to have a certain level of ashiris to be an antique collector. So he says, Sfar Yikari Erech Antique Balaz. Shemakpid shelo yotzi enu ma'aron v'zdam l'shav sharotu hu l'arosu l'mishu ma'hu lotzi.
What page?
Page 26. So what if you're an antique collector and you're not going to take it out of the aron, but somebody came to your house on Shabbos and you want to show it to them? So he says like this. If you hold like the Pnei Yeshua, it has to be a Kli Shemach Tolis. It's not a Kli Shemach Tolis. But if you hold like the other poskim, then it doesn't have to be a Kli Shemach Tolis. So then maybe it'll be Aser. So he says... So he says, if it's sometimes you use it, sometimes you take it out. He says the whole point of buying it is to be able to show it off. You know, what's the point if you can't show it off? Mainly, Mishael Azesh who wrote some Lisparbo, the front is dominant in the Machshav Shabbos. You can't solve Ma'aseh Machshav Tchilo. So obviously. He always has a mind that if somebody
he
wants
to show it to the guests, he wants to
to impress or whatever.
On
a Shabbat, yeah,
share.
Okay. Yeah, it's right. He gets hanah from the. So he thinks that should be okay, but he says perhaps me who lies svarim yishanim shalulim nisparer. But like sometimes we have in the library that things that are going to
fall apart.
You know, when I make these packets, I only use this farm in the library, they're not going to fall apart after. So every once in a while we have something that's going to fall apart. And so then we try to get on the Otzer HaChokhmah. So this way I can get it from there. But for the first time I used a sefer called Hamor. You know who wrote the sefer Hamor? It was written by Elazar Meir Preil. Elazar Meir Preil is the father-in-law of Rav Teitz. The Rav Teitz from Elizabeth, from Pinchas Teitz. So, a very interesting story about Rav Pinchas Teitz. Rav Pinchas Teitz, his father-in-law was this man, Rav Elazar Meir Preil. So interesting was Rav Elazar Meir Preil's other son-in-law was, you know, Rav Pesach Raymond. You know, from Edison, he started the
RPRY,
Rav Pesach Raymond. So one of his son-in-laws is Rav Teitz, another of his son-in-laws was Rav Pesach Raymond. And what happened was, he was not well, and he knew his days were numbered. So this is what he said to the community. He said, I have still a single daughter, and I'd like, if she marries a Rav, that he should be the next Rav of the community. Could you wait for her to get married? And they agreed.
Wow.
They agreed, and she married Rav Teitz. And he became the Rav of Elizabeth. But before him, the Rav of Elizabeth was his Rav Elazar Preil. So the reason I'm talking about, because very recently I needed to use that sefer, and I had to take it from the basement, and it was mamish falling apart, so I had to get it from the Otzer, you know, from the computer. But there's a fascinating story that the community waited, that she got married. And the rest is history. I mean, he built a... My wife always says, the Elizabeth community is one of the few communities of that's in the so-called modern Orthodox world, that's a real kehillah. Like Rav Goodman from Sabra always says, a kehillah means, let me just a little shul. A kehillah means you have your own shechita, you have your own yeshiva, it's a whole life thing. Like Lubavitch, Satmar, these are kehillahs. There's not just little shuls. Breuers, right. These are kehillahs. That's why, like, one of my talmidim gets married in 770. He marries, marries a Lubavitch girl. So then he can't ask me to be Masada Kedushin, because if it's a kehillah, so then the Seder Kedushin only goes to the Rabbanim of the kehillah. And you can't just get someone else to be Masada Kedushin. It's interesting. Same thing if one of my talmidim gets married in Eretz Yisrael. You can't just walk off the plane and be Masada Kedushin. You have to be, the Rabbanut has to enlist you. That somebody has to write a letter on you. It's a whole process. Like here in America, the guy's getting married in a chves in some hall, so he can ask whoever he wants to be Masada Kedushin. Doesn't have to, you know, but Eretz Yisrael or a kehillah, it has to be the Rabbanim of the kehillah. So it's interesting. Rav Teitz made a real kehillah. He has his own yeshiva. He has his own shechita. He has his own mikvah. His own. It's not just Okay. So that's the. One second. Hello. I'm going to call back in 1 minute. Okay. So that's the. That's the story over here. Okay, so that's, so he says that svarim that are falling apart, so that maybe that, you're not going to take, so you're not going to readily, or even not so, so that could be a muktzamach was kisarim kiss.
Here it talks about tefillin.
Yeah, so tefillin, as I told you, we're going to have a whole share on
it. Is that curiosity? Who's Steinberger?
Yeah, he's I don't know where he's from. Maybe he's one of the Rabbanim. Rav Harfenis is from Williamsburg, so it's, I'm sure it's one of the, I don't know if he lives in Williamsburg or one of the Hamish Rabbanim there.
So what's the maskana of all this?
So what can I tell you? I mean, so it's a machlokes, whether you have a nice picture, whether you could... If there's no real tzorach, why, you know, so... You know,
no, so porn in the Mishnah Berurah...
By a fragile sefer, let's say it's not in the greatest condition, it doesn't mean that you're not going to move it. You might just be more careful with it. Why should that be a shiloh?
Right. That's what he says. Ulai. He's not... He's right. Here. Okay, so there's but this is a fascinating thing. Something that's not a klisha machdolis, but you don't use it, or if you yachir makom. So, you know, unless there's a tzorach, might as well, you know, machber tovel of bracha. Why get involved? But it could be meikar adin. For me, it's okay because the ma'isa. I think the Sama Rebbe is right that the Poshup Shad of the Shulchan Aruch, all the cases of the Shulchan Aruch are all cases of Klisha Malachto Lisa. The Sakin Shalmila, the Sakin Shechita, but something that's just an expanding of that. But on the other hand, there is a Svara to say that if it's so, you know, special, like the Chazanish says, things that you don't move, you know, as a Kli that you don't move, maybe you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. That's what he quotes from the Chazanish. So, you know, the svar is lakan or lakan. So I guess it depends how, you know. But if a person really has this urge, probably give him a lot of Oduk Shabbos to be able to show it somebody. So it's not klishal mach to this, or yeshal be lismach. So that if you have something, you know, a real collector's item or something, and it gives you pleasure to show it to somebody.
At least a discussion about some rabbi or the person who made it.
Yeah.
Or you could just have come on. You could have come on before Shabbos that this is something that I use on Shabbos.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid visiting somebody who had a full set.